Lord, for his insurmountable grace. Yes. Father God, first of all, we just thank you for today, Lord, because it was your grace that got us here today.
Yes.
Lord, we just thank you because you don't look at us for who we are, but you look at us for who we can be in you, Lord God. And we just thank you, Lord, that you see in us, Lord God, and you give us your grace daily, because it's by your grace daily that we're making it, Lord God. And we just thank you that you think of us in such a way, that you love us in such a way. So, Lord God, as I am about to bring your word forth, let the Holy Spirit, Lord God, just speak through me, Lord God. Let us give the people your word, Lord God, with clarity, Lord God, so that they will know how much your grace is so sufficient.
Yes.
Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for being God. We thank you for your love, your kindness, and compassion, Lord God. And we just want to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor that you so richly and rightly deserve. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. You know, when you look at this, last week we started the series called The Architecture of Grace, and we learned that it is designed as a spiritual house built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Minister Johnson talked about the mirror and the mask. The mirror shows us what's really in our hearts, and the mask is what we put on to hide things, maybe shame, guilt, or fear. And we learned that God's grace isn't something we earn by trying hard. It's built on Christ, not on what we do. He also mentioned that grace is not built on effort or performance, but just on Christ alone. So we should have been able to come to the understanding that grace is not something that is random or just thrown together. It is divinely designed by God, used to shape us into becoming a reflection of Him. Excuse me. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10 reminds us that we are saved by grace through faith and not by our works, so we can't boast about nothing that we do, because whatever we do, it comes from God. It's not on us. Amen. So today we're going to be learning something new about God's grace. Sometimes, you know, we as people, and I can speak for myself, think that if you pray enough, if you fast enough, if you do enough, if you give enough, God has to give me something back. Look at all I've done. No. You know what that is? That's transactional thinking.
There you go.
It's like trying to trade with God instead of having a relationship with Him. We will learn that God does not work that way. He doesn't keep score like a game. He wants our hearts, not just our actions. So let me define these two words so we'll all be on the same page. A quota is a fixed amount you try to meet to get a reward. Transactional means you give something to get something in return. Amen? Isaiah 58:3 says, "We have fasted before you." They say, "Why aren't you impressed?" They're talking to God now. "Why aren't you impressed? Why don't you see our sacrifices? Why don't you hear our prayers? We have done much penance, and you don't even notice it. I'll tell you why, and this is God. Because you are living in evil pleasure, even when you are fasting, and you keep right on oppressing your workers." See, we have got to realize God knows us completely from the inside out. He made us. He knows everything about us. So we don't have to impress Him into saving us. Salvation was already secured by His grace. Yet, when we walk in obedience, it delights His heart, not because we earned His love, but because we are living in alignment with what He created us to be.
Yes.
The people were fasting to be seen by others, but God knew their hearts were far from Him. They appeared spiritual on the outside, but God knew that their devotion was only for show. God has always been concerned not just with what we do, but the why that we do it. As we see, the issue was not the act of fasting itself, but it was the motive behind it. Although God does care about what we do, He does not use our performance as a measuring stick to decide whether he will extend grace. Our actions are not a barometer that determines his mercy. Grace flows because that is a part of his character. It's not from our quota. He is sovereign, and he moves according to his wisdom and his purpose, not in response to our attempts to impress him. The idea that God operates on a fixed number of spots or a limited amount of grace or a rigid tally of deeds that we have to be a part of, he's not a taskmaster concerned with random numbers, checklists, or irrational demands. His character is defined by grace, personal relationship, and love. God simply does not operate based on human performance. When we come to the realization that we cannot earn our way into salvation or heaven, we step outside of the structure of transaction and into the architecture of grace, where God gives not according to what we have done, but according to his mercy. A transaction says, if I do this, God will do that. No. It turns out our relationship with him is just an exchange system. God destroys that entire framework. God reminds us that salvation was never a wage to be earned, but a gift to be received. Amen.
Amen.
I just wanted to read this out of the Voice because I love the way the Voice puts this. And it's Ephesians 2:8 now, but just listen to this. It says, for it's by God's grace you have been saved. You receive it through faith. It was not our plan or our effort. It's God's gift, pure and simple. You didn't earn it. Not one of us did. So don't go around bragging that you must have done something amazing. No, you didn't.
Go around bragging.
That means we just can't take credit for what Christ can only accomplish. In the architecture of grace, the foundation is not our goodness, but God's mercy. His son Jesus already fulfilled what we could never do. No matter how unworthy we may be, God does not ignore us. His grace meets us where we are. And instead of giving us what we deserve, he extends to us what we could never qualify for on our own. This is what makes him the God who breaks every quota and will not be reduced to a transaction. Instead, he is a loving, gentle, kind father who values the quality of wholehearted faithfulness over the quantity of work or achievements. Matthew 9:9-13, it says, later, Jesus was walking along, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting in the tax collector's office. Jesus said to Matthew, follow me. Matthew, he got up and he followed. Once, when he ate a meal at a home with his disciples, a whole host of tax collectors and other sinners joined him. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked Jesus' disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus overheard this, so he said, look, who needs a doctor? Healthy people or sick people? I'm not here to attend to people who are already with God. I am here to attend to sinners. In the book of the prophet Hosea, we read, it is not sacrifice I want, but mercy. Go and meditate on that for a while. Maybe you'll come to understand it. Jesus spent time with people everybody else ignored, showing that God's favor isn't earned by rules or quotas. He builds his grace in us freely with love and mercy so that we can reflect him in our lives. The idea that God is not a God of the quota reflects the belief that the divine relationship is based on limitless grace rather than a transactional tally of deeds. If God operated on a quota, grace would cease to be grace. Plain and simple. Romans 11:5-6 says, it is the same today for a few of the people of Israel have remained faithful because of God's grace, his undeserved kindness in choosing them. And since it is through God's kindness, then it is not by their good works. For in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is, free and undeserved. If God was a God of quotas, that would lead us to this summation. We would have constant anxiety, and we would be striving, never knowing if we had done enough. God is our source of peace and order, not the author of confusion or fear-based performance. We're not God's employees trying to meet a quota. We're his disciples, walking in relationship, not punching a time card for a paycheck. In the transactional system, you earn access. Your performance decides your reward. But in the architecture of grace, the door is already open. Access is not earned, it's given. We don't come to God as contractors trying to prove our worth. We come as disciples being shaped, guided, and loved by him. Obedience is a reflection of our love. It doesn't make God love us more. His love is already perfect. But it shows that his love has taken root in our hearts. We obey because it's the natural response of somebody who already belongs. We obey him not to gain acceptance, but because we are already accepted. In other words, obedience flows from relationship, not from obligation. Grace meets us where we are and invites us into a love-driven relationship where our yes is evidence of trust, not a payment of reward. As Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commands. When we follow him because we love him, our obedience becomes evidence of relationship, not a way to earn his favor. God's true character never contradicts his revealed word. When we think of God operating in a quota method, it is something that would be very contrary to the scriptures. Anything that causes fear, shame, chaos, etc., is not from him. In essence, God's true approach focuses on the heart, because that's where transformation takes place and relationship with him develops. Anything other than this would be considered a disorganized framework. When we do something nice for someone, we often expect something nice in return. I mean, that's how I used to think. I did. I'm just saying from my point of view. And when they do something kind for us, our desire is to reciprocate with the same kind of kindness, okay? That's just our human nature. Because if someone is mean to us sometimes, what's our first impulse? To respond back to them likewise, correct? This is more commonly called tit-for-tat approach. I'll do for you if only you do this for me. Or I'll get even with you because you did me wrong and I want to get you back. Mm-hmm. It's a system of give and take, of keeping score, of operating in quotas. That's exactly what transactional thinking in our faith looks like. If I pray enough, God will bless me. If I give enough, he'll reward me. If I obey enough, I will earn his favor. Most of the time, this action can be very subtle as we apply this through our everyday interactions with others and our interactions with God. We might think we're being fair or reasonable, but really, we kind of keep the score in our hearts. I did this for you, so you owe me this in return. Even in relationships, it can appear as little resentments or conditional love. I helped you last time. Okay, it's your turn to help me. We become certain that our acts of righteousness will get God's attention and produce a positive response from him. We are looking at this from a transactional perspective. And the tricky part is, we can believe we're acting in love or fairness when really, in our hearts, we're unconsciously expecting repayment or reward. That comes from our own human mindset. Let's be real. We're human. That comes from our own human mindset and is definitely not a part of God's character. The truth is that there's nothing we can do to cause God to love us anymore, and there's nothing we can do to cause him to love us any less. God's deep love for us is unshakable. God of the Bible He is perfect, and He loves us perfectly. And the undeserved love comes from His grace, getting what we don't deserve, and mercy, not getting what we really do deserve. God is not a tit-for-tat supernatural being.
Thank you, God.
Amen?
That's right.
He breaks the cycle, even when we don't notice our own tit-for-tat thinking. Grace meets us in our unawareness and reminds us that relationship with Him is not transactional, and that His love is unconditional, regardless of our behavior. This is what I found. Here are four ways that show God does not operate in the transactional system or quota-based system. He's not looking for performance-based acceptance. God does not require us to meet an ever-increasing, stressful quota of good works to earn His love or salvation. He looks for faithfulness, not perfection. Now, we can strive to be perfect, that there's nothing wrong with that. But God does not require us to be perfect, but He requires faithfulness, because our success is not in our performance. Our success with Him is in our faithfulness. He provides grace when we fall short, treating us with mercy rather than punishing us. He is looking for quality over quantity. God is concerned with our character, our behaviors, and attitudes, the fruit of the Spirit, rather than just productivity or high volume output. Amen.
Amen.
He gives divine empowerment instead of putting pressure on us. God provides the grace and strength needed to live out our calling and rest in what Christ. Grace and strength needed to live our calling, taking the burden off of our own efforts. All right. This perspective offers freedom from the pressure to constantly prove our worth, shifting the focus to a relationship of grace, trust, and rest in what Christ has already accomplished. He chose the world down and out as the kingdom's first citizen, with full rights and privileges. This kingdom is promised to anyone who loves God, and the reference scripture is James 2 and 5. You'll find that. God's standard is just not the same as the standard of this world. He places those of us who have the least at the top. We can't work our way into His favor. We can't gain entry into His kingdom by what we do. The world's way of doing things is that we have to do more all the time to please others. However, who is God looking for us to please? Him. Amen. He simply wants us to believe that His Son was sent. He walked this earth to show us how to live, and then He died on the cross for our sins. Mm-hmm. How many of us have ever had to walk into work situations where we were constantly held under an ever-increasing quota? No matter what we did, guess what our reward was? More. You reach that quota, we're going to give you some more, okay? So when we worked hard and met that quota, like I said, we were sure expected to work even harder to attain that next quota. But see, God is a gentle Father. He's a loving Father. He does not create scenarios designed to cause us to fail. He builds us up. He forgives our shortcomings and wipes the slate clean when we come to Him in repentance. He allows trials and hardships not to destroy us, but to grow us. He gives His love, forgiveness, and salvation freely. Even though we can be at our worst and undeserving of it, in Christ there is no ledger of good works versus bad works. There is only His grace and mercy. Grace is available to all, yet it must be received by faith. However, the only way to receive this gift of grace, you gotta have a relationship with Jesus Christ. As John 1:12 reminds us, to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. This is the God of the quota-breaking transactionalism. He gives his grace freely, not because we met a requirement, but because his Son fulfilled it. He invites us into a relationship where love motivates obedience. Our yes to him is not a way to earn reward, but it's our response to what has already been done through Christ. In Christ, the quota has been filled. The door is open. And through faith in him, we step inside and reflect his love, mercy, and grace in the way that we live. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for your word.
Thank you for your word.
When we look at the grace that you have extended to us, God, I don't think we just realize how insurmountable it is. And Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you that your grace meets us where we are. We don't have to put on a performance. All we have to do is drop our hands and lift them to you to say, I surrender. I give you all, Lord God. I want you to lead my life. I surrender to you, Lord. That's all we have to do. And your grace and your mercy is available. And even when we haven't come to you, though, you still extend grace. So that means you're giving us time, Lord. You've given us time. Like 2 Peter 3:9 says, you're not slacking your promise, Lord God, but you want all to come to know you, Lord, and you're giving us chance after chance after chance. And it's because of your grace and mercy that you are allowing it. And we are ever so thankful, Lord, ever so thankful
all right.
for this grace. I just never knew the grace that you have given us is so much. For what we do, you said, Lord God, for when sin abounds, grace abounds even more, God. And we thank you for that. We don't have to hold on to that sin because of your grace. We just have to repent. You wipe the slate clean, and we can start anew. And Lord, for this, we thank you.
You're good God.
We give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you praise. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.